You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and for those expecting a Friday edition, I canceled it on short notice. I was feeling somewhat under the weather and was pressed on a lot of activities, so I won't be going over the unemployment report or the economy. I'm going to save that to a later date. Even though the unemployment rate is low, the labor participation rate is significantly lower than where it should be. It should be at 66% and 67%. And that's forgotten. Plus, you have the problem of the hurricane interfering with the data, so it's not representative. The challenge is what will be, not the 1 month impact of the hurricanes, which will have an impact for sure in terms of hiring, but what is its long-term impact? Clearly, there's going to be a lot of building in the Houston area, or rebuilding, refurbishing, and there's a shortage of labor to do that. So I think the economy will pick back up. But what's disturbing to me is the fact that that persistently low labor participation rate. Presidents like to look at, and Donald Trump is no exception, the unemployment number. That's just one number of a large report. There are a lot of other information in that report. And anyone that's gone over it, and I have over the years many times, knows that the labor participation rate should be at least 66%. And what that gets translated, when it drops to a much lower number, you have millions of people not in the labor force. You have over 94 million people not in the labor force. And of those, anywhere from at least 10% to 20% would come back into the labor force if they could find a full-time permanent position. Many of those people are retired or never going to come back, or they're raising a family, so they won't come back until their children are in school, or they're going to school themselves. So it's not the big number in and of itself. It's what percentage of those would come back. And for especially during the Obama administration, and I'm afraid it might continue in the Trump administration, the decline in the unemployment rate was due to the fact that people were leaving the labor force. It wasn't that people were finding jobs, because if you want a 3% or more growth rate, and that's what you need to have, if you had a 3% or 3.5% growth rate, that's sort of the goal right now. And we've had under 2%. We never had a full year of 3% under Obama. Yeah, there were some months that quarters that the economy grew, but not at the historical trend. And when you're coming out of a recession, you want to be above trend. So why I'm not going to give a detailed analysis, which I try to do at least once a month when the unemployment numbers come out, I'm going to pass this month and wait to next month and see what's going on. I think we'll have better information, more complete information, and see where the trends are going. See, what you want to have is a falling unemployment rate, and I mean under 4%, ideally under 3%, and you want a rising labor participation rate over 66%, heading to 67%. we're under 63%. That's not good, folks. That's persistent unemployment. So it's a wait and see. Yes, the stock market is roaring. I understand that. But you need to distinguish from what's happening in financial markets, in this case, the stock market, both in the United States and abroad, but also, more importantly, what's happening in the U.S. economy and what's the impact in terms of employment of people. I've said if Donald Trump, through his economic policies, can get the economy growing above 3%, he'll get a second term. Now, to do that, he's going to have to pass his tax bill, for sure, and he's going to have to repeal and replace Obamacare. And I'm not optimistic in either one of them. And if you've listened to past shows, you know I'm not happy with the, I call it the tepid, timid tax reform plan of the Trump administration. It's not that it doesn't go in the right direction. It certainly does, and there are many things in it I applaud, but it's simply not bold. And if you want to get 4, 5, 6%, you need a bold plan. You need fundamental change in both tax policy and budget policy. And it's really the latter that I'm more concerned. I don't think there's any real effort, and I mean effort not in terms of setting goals, but in actually accomplishing it, of getting the deficits down and eventually balance the budget. I think next year we'll have at least a $500 billion. In other words, half a trillion deficit again and again and again. And if Trump doesn't watch out, this will get away from him because he's betting that by repealing Obamacare and a significant tax cut, that will get him growth rates above the trend line. That's the bet. And if he doesn't get that, then I think it's problematic whether he'll win in 2020 because the Republican base, as well as the independent base, are really fed up with the Republican Party. And I'm going to be talking about that in my second story. See, Trump has a choice. I call it Trump's choice. He can either reform or transform the Republican Party. And as far as I can see, that is his only viable alternative. And that's not going to be easy because of the narrow margin that in the Senate, there's 52 Republicans. That could be improved, but that is very much conditional upon the Senate actually doing something. The big, let us say, bottleneck is the Senate and its leadership. They are not used to being the leadership in the sense of getting things done. And I've never been that impressed with Mitch McConnell, and I think it's time for new leadership. Good luck with that one. You need to get the numbers to 60, and they're not going to get it to 60. That's a pipe dream. But they need to get it to 54, 55, 56, because you're always going to have the Republicans in name only, what I would call left-to-center Republicans, and there are quite a few of them, quite a few of them. If you have just a few vote against you, you can't get anything done, even with Pence voting. Call it gridlock, call it whatever you want, and I can understand the sheer frustration of President Trump. But the answer is primarying these senators and congressmen that, frankly, are not supporting you. That's the name of the game in Washington. Punish the people that do not support you, and you punish them by replacing them. That's the only thing they really understand, because it's remaining in power is the name of the game. Now, after they've been in power a long time, what they tend to do is what? Retire and then get much bigger paychecks, becoming consultants or lobbyists for various interests. And I think a lot of that will be going on shortly. So it's not a happy Republican Party. And let me say this. You have deeper divisions in the Democratic Party, although they very much are good at presenting a united front. In actuality, they're far from united. They're deep divisions. And if they keep losing elections, the party's getting smaller and smaller, and it's further and further to the left. They better watch it, because if they have major defeats, both in the Senate and the House, and equally importantly in the states, more governorships going Republican, the Democratic Party could be a very small minority party and ultimately be replaced. Now, there's a story in the news that I've really, really did not want to cover. It's one of those stories that gets a lot of attention. It's not a pleasant story at all. And that's the Harvey, yes, Hollywood Harvey, the harasser. The harasser Harvey's Hollywood hypocrites in terms of the behavior that Harvey Weinstein, I don't know how to pronounce it. I just call him Harvey. He's a power in Hollywood. And because of that, behavior that would never be acceptable anywhere else, very few places, for decades was covered up. And the way they cover it up is very simple. They pay whoever's suing them a dollar figure, usually $100,000, $150,000. Depends the nature of the charges and the evidence. So it's a nice payday, but they also make you sign a non-disclosure agreement. So you can never tell reporters what happened. And that's been going, and supposedly there's at least 8 lawsuits that we know about that was the case. And now New York Times, surprise, surprise, broke the story, I think 5 or 6 days ago. And it's on all the news. It's on talk radio. And apparently Harvey wasn't liked by a lot of people. He was adored by many and feared by many. But there are many people that are just rubbing their hands together. Now, I don't know what's going on in Hollywood, and frankly, I don't care, and I don't think the majority of the American people care. But what it involves is sexual harassment and abuse of women, a clear pattern over many years, covered up by a corporation paying out these suits, whoever paid them, and now he was fired Sunday. That's why I am reporting on it. I've stayed away from it. It's scandalous behavior. But you see, people get away with that because they have friends, associates, buddies, and they give to political campaigns, charities. He has his defenders, although now that the story's out and it has legs, in other words, it's not going away in a day, it remains to be seen. Can he come back? People are already posing that question. Can he come back? I don't know, and frankly don't care. But it's a long history of abuse that Hollywood was silent on. And much of what I call big lie media was silent about. It was sort of an open secret amongst those that are connected and to the Hollywood crowd. It wasn't like everyone knew, but enough people knew that this should have been in the newspapers many, many years ago. Because the behavior continued. I think one of the reasons it wasn't broken earlier was he was a big supporter of who? Hillary Clinton. And yes, Hillary Clinton was married to a sexual predator, a rapist. She knows all about this type of behavior, but Harvey was a big contributor to the Democratic Party, President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and other Democrats. And it's coming out today, all the Democrats in the Senate and other places, that he's given campaign contributions. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that is the problem, is the corruption of our political class. Now, Harvey's just one of many, but now people don't want him to their parties, really don't want him on the show, although if he agreed to, I'm sure at least one would put him on to hear his side. Like I say, I believe a person should have his day in court, but if there's a pattern here, and I think it's undeniable pattern of inappropriate behavior, of a sexual harassment nature and abusive behavior, I think the description as a dirty old man probably applies. That's why I say they're down and dirty Democrats. They knew what was going on. Now some of them are returning the money. I wonder if they're going to return all the money they got from Harvey. He was very, very successful. Sold Miramax to Disney and had a production company. Him and his brother had a production company that was also very successful. No, I don't think Harvey is down and out. I think Harvey will return, but his reputation and his power much diminished. But that simply will take time, and I think a lot of time, and people are going to have a wide berth in terms of being seen with him. I always say the pendulum turns. Truth will ultimately come out. And I really don't think we've heard all the truth. Don't jump to conclusions. Apparently, this story could have been broken many years ago, but wasn't. They sat on it. And I'm sure many newspapers, even television networks, to the extent that they had some information, sat on it. Because what they do, and Harvey's doing it, he's suing the New York Times. Well, good luck with that. See, lawyers like that, because, fine, my billing rate is $1,000 an hour, Harvey. Sue all you want. It rather disgusts me. But I'm more disgusted at the people that knew it and didn't say anything. Now, I know why. They were trying to protect primarily their careers, because he did make movies, very successful movies. But Hollywood has become, unfortunately, somewhat of a cesspool. They talk about draining the swamp in terms of Washington, D.C. I think it's draining the gutters in Hollywood. because Harvey's not alone. I think I've been to Hollywood once, as I recall. I went on a trip, business trip to Los Angeles, but haven't been there since. No desire to go there. Has nice weather, though. It's the influence of the culture on people, in this case, entertainment, movies, that really has the negative effects. You're always going to have people in power, employers primarily, taking advantage of women. And if there's a woman employer, men or other women, especially if they're beautiful and young and naive, and that happens. But this is not an isolated incident. This is a regular, ongoing, I think it's still ongoing. We'll never know. And it's getting a lot of attention. And I really don't want to get into the details. If you're new to the show, I have a lot of videos. You can see a picture of Harvey. Harvey needs to go on a diet, but so do I, and so do Trump. That is one of the problems when you get up in age. And that's one of the things I've noticed. You need more exercise. And I mean real exercise, Harvey, not the kind you engage in. So I think for now, Harvey is done. He has been fired. Whether he'll be the comeback kid, I doubt it. Because now he's going to find that many people in the past that would immediately return his calls are simply not going to return his calls. The president was asked about Harvey, and he said, "I'm not surprised." And see, that got my attention, because I've heard some other talk show hosts that said, this was known many, many years ago. It wasn't like it was a top secret of the government. Those seem to be leaked rather quickly. So I'm interested in seeing what's the reaction to this. There are many embarrassed actors and actresses when these sexual harassment allegations came out. I don't think we've heard all of it or the last of it. And who's next? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know these people. Don't particularly want to know these people. But they know. This has always been, if you will, a problem in Hollywood. I'm interested in films. I've read books on Hollywood. This is not new, but what they do is they're the insiders that are in the know and the outsiders, which is you and me and everybody else. And they try to keep their scandals away, especially from their talent. But these actions mess up people's lives, mental health. Now, I also had a reputation for having a temper, being a bully. They tend to go together, these behaviors. And he got away with it. He was a predator just like Bill Clinton was. Maybe not as bad, but still in a similar league. And thought his power, money, influence would protect them. And he could always pay off people to make sure the evidence never got out. But it has. What took so long? The hypocrisy of the Hollywood, the stars. Now, some will say, I knew nothing about it. And ladies and gentlemen, that can be true. Be careful here. I'm sure there are many people that didn't know. They weren't, if you will, connected or in the loop. But there were many that did know, that were careful, didn't let others that might have told know. They were enablers, and that's the problem. Whenever you have this situation, you will find a number of people are enabling this inappropriate, bordering on criminal, depends what he does. Some are just inappropriate behavior, disgusting behavior, but not crimes. But you can easily cross the line, depending on what you're doing. So be careful here. I think we'll hear a lot more of it, more about it. I don't in particular want to pursue this. I noticed there are at least several talk show hosts that are somewhat gleeful that this happened. And I get the impression that they knew about it, but I don't know. I won't mention names, but I can think of one in particular that really doesn't like this guy. And I don't particularly care for him either. Don't get the wrong impression, but he'll go on his talk show, and he has one, a big one. He's one of the biggies, and go on and on about this. So something happened between him, and that's something I need to say. You're always going to run into situations where two individuals, for whatever reason, and usually they don't tell you, become that while they might have been friends or acquaintances one time, something happens that they're very much enemies, and there are always two sides to every story. So in a way, he's gotten his just desserts. He has apologized. He knows he's caused a lot of pain, that's true, and he has apologized for it. That's the minimum required. He was on a number of talk shows and obviously went to a lot of parties. His sort of method of operation, he would invite women up to his hotel room in a hotel in Hollywood and request certain services that most of them, not all of them, but Most of them were shocked that he would even ask. And what's interesting, there's a called the Harvey Weinstein Project. The unauthorized. I don't know much about it. There's a trailer for it. I don't know if it's already been released or not. The timing couldn't have been better if it were going to be released. Yes, he was a big supporter of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the Obamas, many senators, congressmen, and they got nice campaign contributions for him. He was very generous with his money, also to charities, but he also had, let us say, took advantage of his position. He really did. And if he were a high executive of any other company, especially a public company, he would have been outed a long time ago. But usually what goes on, especially, remember, he was the founder of these companies. They can more or less pick their own board of directors. And the board resigned as well. They have a duty to protect the stockholders. And I'm pretty sure they were aware of it. So Harvey is probably the most famous of the perverts that have been exposed. But there are a lot more. And I think a lot more to come. And I'm sure many of you are saying, why are you covering this? I debated whether even to cover this. Oh, it impacts him, his family, his close friends, business acquaintances, and the Hollywood crowd. You better believe it does. But does it really impact America? Not directly, but remember, he made a lot of films. And some did have, let us say, an impact. Whether it's good or bad depends on your point of view. Let's move off Harvey. And hopefully we won't hear about him ever again, but I think that's being very optimistic. Now, I want to cover in the second story, and this is, now I've been thinking about this for a long time. There's been sort of a dust-up between President Trump and Senator Corker, who announced that he isn't going to be running for re-election next November. He's a senator from Tennessee, a long-serving senator. As far as I'm concerned, I'm glad he's going. He's part of the problem as far as I'm concerned, especially. He was instrumental in getting that Obama-Iran nuclear, not a treaty, should have been a treaty, but thanks to Corker and several other senators, got it through as an agreement. For that alone, I hope he's glad he's not running. And if he had decided, someone should have challenged him. He sought President Trump's endorsement, didn't get it, and as a result, decided not to run. It's not clear to me at all that he would have been reelected. So he was going to be primaried. Who would challenge him? There are a number of people. I don't really comment on those type races, but I think he knew it was an uphill fight. He might have still won, because remember, name recognition is important. They know who you are. But there are a significant number of people in Tennessee that don't want him as their senator. And he faced rather stiff winds or a real challenge, first just to get the nomination, the Republican nomination, and then winning in November in the general election. So Trump has been critical of Corker, and Corker in turn has been critical of Trump. They've been tweeting away, commenting away. What is Trump's problem, though? The political establishment in Washington, especially the leadership of the Republican Party, both in the House and the Senate, don't particularly care, nor do they want Donald Trump as the nominee of the Republican Party. And many of them made clear of that, including the House Speaker. And now that President Trump, not candidate Trump, he still has over 3 years and 3 months. That's a long time. A long time, not quite 40 months left. They're going to have to deal, the Republican Party, especially the F's and D's of the Republican Party, according to Conservative Review, and that's the majority of the Republican Party, sad to say, still don't want him. And I think Trump is going to be challenged in 2020. And the question is who? And how far do you think they will get? I don't think very far, because I don't think of one name that, at least as of right now, could beat him. The dilemma that's facing, and it really is a dilemma for President Trump, he needs the leadership, especially in the Senate and the House. He needs a big win. Actually, he needs at least two or three big wins. One, he needs to pass significant tax cut. He's not going to pass fundamental tax reform. I've given up. He's not bold. And that, I think, is going to be his undoing. But related to that, and probably even more important, he seems to have fallen in the trap that deficits don't matter. Now, you can criticize the Congressional Budget Office all you want, and I've been critical of them in the past. This will increase the deficit. We don't know what it is, though. That's why we don't know how much. The strategy is, if we have a significant tax cut, that growth, 3, 4, 5%, will more than offset. In other words, you'll have more revenues because of a growing economy. The logic is this. If we reduce the corporate rate from 35 to 20 or 15, he really wants, but I doubt it'll even get 20. But a significant cut, that will improve significantly the competitiveness of U.S. corporations abroad. So that's a big plus for U.S. corporations and a big plus in terms of the stock market. That's one of the reasons you're seeing new records being set. Now, I don't think it's factored in because the more you look at this, it's not easy to pass a tax bill. They're desperate to do it. And remember, the House and the Senate have to at some point come together on what's in that tax bill. So I'm not convinced at all that this is in any way a done deal or is going to happen. Now, President Trump thinks he's going to get some support from the Democrats. He might get a little support, but I wouldn't bet on it. I don't trust the Democrats. They're not your friends, Mr. Trump, and they have pretty good party discipline. And yeah, you might get a couple, but not very many. And because of that alone, I wouldn't rely at all on Democrats pushing you over the finishing line. You see, the Republicans are divided. Many want to see a fundamental tax reform, as do I. Unfortunately, they don't have the numbers. At most, 50 to 100, and that's being very, very optimistic. You see, it's the F's and D's in terms of conservative review. Many of them are left of center or centrist. Republicans in name only don't want a significant tax cut, and many of them don't want to cut spending. You got two problems. The bigger problem for Trump is he has to cut spending, and he doesn't want to do it. And his own party, the leadership, doesn't want to do it. So the president really, deep down, doesn't want to do it, and the leadership doesn't want to do it. Do you think it's going to happen? I don't think so. It's not that they can't pick certain departments, programs, and cut their budget. Yeah, they can do that all day long, but we're talking big cuts in spending. You know, even a couple of billion here and there adding up is when you're facing a deficit that we'll know in about 2 weeks, maybe sooner, actually 12, total of 12 business days. So technically, sometime about Thursday of next week, we should know the deficit for the fiscal year that just ended. That's 2017. And I think it'll come in right around $600 billion, plus or minus maybe 50 either way. That's nowhere near a balanced budget where there's no deficit. You see, the Democrats and the Republicans no longer are concerned about running deficit after deficit. And because of that, there's no leadership in the House or the Senate to really balance the budget. The president can propose any budget he wants, but that, in my mind, is just a suggestion from the presidency. It doesn't matter if it's a Democratic president or a Republican president. It's really up to the House initially and the Senate to come up with an appropriations bill that reflects the budget. And they're always talking about, well, in 10 years, we'll balance the budget. 10 years never comes. The American people no longer believe that nonsense. They should do away with baseline budgeting. And they should tell the American people when they will be balancing the budget. 10 years is not acceptable. I think at the end of 4 years is, but they couldn't do it to save their lives. So the story is whether or not Trump is going to transform the Republican Party. I think that's his only option, by the way, to fit his agenda. And there are question marks exactly what is that agenda. Or start a new party. Frankly, I've ruled that out. Trump will not be the person that starts a new political party. I thought there was some chance of that, but not anymore. His only way to success is to come to some kind of agreement. Framework is their favorite term. How can we get some major legislation truly passed? Remember, both houses have to pass it. I know House Speaker Ryan, oh, we've passed 240 bills, blah, 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 blah. But the House can pass 1,000 bills. But if nothing happens in the Senate, you haven't passed anything. And you can't pass anything if you don't have the votes, especially where 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the senators are either abstaining or voting with the other party. That's why we have gridlock. That's why Donald Trump does not have any major wins as I speak. He can assign executive orders just like Obama did. He's really replacing or doing away with many President Obama's executive orders. That's all well and good, and that's for the first couple of months. Those were all those picture opportunities with him holding up an executive order and people gathered around. Well, the American people that elected Donald Trump are expecting a number of things. Number one, they are expecting the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. That was close, but close doesn't count. They are expecting a tax cut, a significant tax cut. That clearly is at best a 50-50 proposition. What else are they expecting? Oh, his key issue, immigration. And I've warned people, and I'll warn you again, if Donald Trump flip-flops on this issue, and I think he will, although technically he'll say, I told you so. Donald Trump is president of the United States because he made immigration, especially illegal immigration, a wedge issue that divided people, for sure, because it was a hot-button issue with many voters. It certainly was with me. What Donald Trump outlined was to build a wall, that's what everyone heard, with a door in it. And he also promised to deport all the illegal aliens that are here. But he said, not often, and certainly didn't initiate it, usually it was during a debate, that if he was elected president, oh, he'll build that wall, and he will deport all the illegal aliens that are here, and people would say, how? But then he said, after they go home to wherever they came from, as long as they don't have a criminal record, they don't have a record of felonies, actually serious crimes, murder, I think is a serious crime, rape, assault, bank robberies, things like that, as long as they didn't have a criminal record, either in their country of origin or in the United States, they could come back to the United States and they would issue expedited visas. In other words, sounds like they're going to get in the front of the line. No, it sounds like they would get a work permit. But what is this? This is what the Republicans tried to do 10 years ago, again, with Republicans in name only in the Senate. It was called touchback amnesty, and that's what it is. The goal is to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. That's the Democratic Party's goal, and ladies and gentlemen, the leadership of the Republican Party wants that as well. They won't say it, but that is what they want. Why? They're answerable to the owner-donor class, the owners of this country, the people that make the large contributions. They know where their bread is buttered. They know that they're bought and paid for, and they are expected to do something about immigration so all the illegal aliens that are here, and it's not 11 or 12 million, it's anywhere from a minimum of 30 million upwards of 60 million, we don't know. We'll find out, though. It won't be that long until we find out. So what's going to happen is all you people that trust Donald Trump, especially because what he said on immigration, you're going to get a rude awakening. Now, I didn't think this was going to happen until when? The last 2 years of a second term. I really didn't think it was going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been there before. At least I can remember when President Reagan came out in favor of amnesty. And this was going to be a one-time amnesty of approximately 1 million people. It turned out nearly 3 million, 2.7 million. So all the illegal aliens that were there prior to, I think it's 1986, 7, I forget that. I'm pretty sure it's 86. So all the illegal aliens that were here, mostly from Mexico, some for other Central American countries, but primarily Mexico, were granted a one-time amnesty that led to citizenship. But the agreement was the borders would be secured. This is the last time. We would stop the flow of illegal immigrants into the country. Initially, it did a little of that, but the agreement wasn't, the law wasn't upheld. And really, starting, well, in the Clinton administration, but also in George Bush's administration, continuing into Obama and really continuing today, we've had a steady flow. It ebbs and flows, but a steady flow of illegal immigrants across the border. Ladies and gentlemen, if Donald Trump is exposed, and I think, as far as I'm concerned, he's told us, whether you listened or not is your problem. Because I'm sure some will say, well, Mr. Trump, you said you were going to deport him. Yes, I did. I said we're going to deport him. But I also said we're going to let all the law-abiding ones right back in. Well, that's not what the American people want. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the majority of Trump's own base want. They want none of this. They want illegal immigration stopped. Stop means stopped, and all the illegals here to go home. That's truly what the majority of the American people, the American workers, want. That's not what the Democratic Party wants. The Democratic Party is for open borders, and they want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here, and it's no secret why. I would say upwards of 3 out of 4 of those illegal immigrants will become Democratic, registered Democratic voters. I bring this up because there are certain key issues that if you're going to start a new party or trying to reform a new party, you've got to be very, very clear on. Spending is one of them. Taxes is another. Health care, specifically totally repealing Obamacare. The law, the regulations, the taxes, the subsidies. Republican leadership isn't for that. There are ways to deal with pre-existing conditions. I'm not going to get into that, but there is a base of people, voters, potential voters. And right now, there's not much daylight between President Trump and his voters. But we're a long way from a second term of Donald Trump, and missteps will happen. If it is perceived that Donald Trump is welching on his promises, not delivering on his promises, in particular building that wall, but also not repealing, and I mean truly repealing Obamacare, and not giving us a tax cut, he won't get reelected. He has to put at least 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 of the major promises he's made has to be implemented. And it's clear that the Democratic Party, because they're for open borders, the last thing they want is a barrier, a fence, a wall, whatever you want to call it. But one that works, spanning the rough, slightly less than 2,000 miles from California through Texas. And that has been the problem with both the Democratic Party in particular. They won't go along with it. You're not going to get any votes, Mr. Trump, on this. And unfortunately, many of the Republicans don't want the wall. They think it's a waste of money. It is a waste of money. I'll be the first one to say, of course it's a waste of money. But we're in this fix. Why? We didn't enforce immigration law. See, that what the American people truly want is the federal government, who's responsible for immigration, to enforce the law. I know there are things that can make the immigration laws better. I understand that. But I'm in no mood, and neither is the American people in no mood, to give you anything approaching comprehensive immigration reform before you first secure the border by building a wall, a barrier. I like the idea of a road between two fences with sensors in it, cameras. You got to patrol it and have drones and helicopters. It's expensive. Even once the wall is built, to patrol it, because people can get ladders to go over the fence or build tunnels. That's why you need to have that road so people can patrol and stop it. You need immigration law enforcement. That's what the American people are demanding, not asking, demanding. And unfortunately, the political elites of both the Democratic and the Republican Party don't favor that. Because if they did, it'd already be done. We've been talking about this going on 18 years. I'm rather sick of it. But what makes me sick is they're more concerned about illegal aliens than the American worker. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump's base. And if he alienates that base, in other words, he goes back on his promises, he's done. He may be very, very careful. In an area I would watch, and I am watching, is how is he going to deal with the so-called dreamers? I call them the nightmares. Those are children of illegal aliens that were brought by their parents to the United States. They weren't born here. They were brought, supposedly brought. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're illegal aliens. And I've heard this argument over and over. Well, we don't want to break up families. Excuse me. I don't want to break up a family. I want the entire family of illegal aliens to go home. And that's what the American people want. The American people support legal immigration, as long as it's controlled and limited. And that means it's not 1 million or 2 million or 3 million. Today, legally, over 1 million people come to the United States legally every year. Did the American people demand that, pound the table? No. It's money. It's the business interests, the donor-owner class, the founders, the executives of these corporations, including Harvey there. Harvey the harasser. Oh, he's a big supporter of the Clintons and Obama for open borders. So's the Wall Street Journal. So is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So are the churches. Why? What's happening, for example, to the Democratic and Republican Party? People are leaving it. They're sick of it. I'm sick of the lies, the deception, being betrayed, being cheated on. A phrase in Texas, former President George Bush, and there's a clip on YouTube. I don't have it in my notes. And before I forget, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, under my photograph are links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But underneath that is some of the material I looked at in preparing this show. There's a lot of other information, but I don't put everything on. It would be too long. What I want you to do, if you have time, is to go over that material and make up your own mind. I'm giving you my opinion, my commentary on some major news events. Or not so major, but important to you and me. But I want you not to necessarily agree with me, although I hope I'm persuasive, but what I want you to do is make up your own mind, research the issue, the story, all by yourself, and then you decide. I make mistakes, and when it's pointed out or when I'm aware of it, I correct them. I listen to every show that I broadcast. And someone asked me, well, why do you do that? Doesn't that take time? Yes, it does. For an hour show, it takes about 2 hours. I'm trying to get the size of that file or the length of the show down, and usually I can cut about 25, 30, in some situations as much as a third. And what are they? They're pauses. You notice we haven't had any advertising, no commercials, and we have no phone calls because we're not set up for that. And you really need to be broadcasting over the airways. We are broadcasting over the internet. We are a web radio station. Most of my listeners don't listen to this show when I'm presenting it right now. They listen to it as a podcast. And that's when you click on those links, it'll take you to a podcast. And below, you'll see a lot of YouTube videos, articles, cartoons, photographs, statistics, tables, depending on the story. And at the very bottom of the page, you'll have links to my entire portfolio of radio shows. And we are nearing 1,000. We should be at 1,000 sometime in the middle of November. No promises there, but I think we'll hit it. So I wanted to point that out because I do have relevant videos. And I didn't put the one where, maybe I should, I'll think about it. President Bush, George W. Bush, I call him Sonny Bush. He got it wrong. I'll say it right. There's a phrase in Texas. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. There's another saying that I also go along with, sort of goes along with this as well. Dance with the one that brought you. Donald Trump gave the Senate and the House the majorities they have. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the representatives and senators that campaigned and got either reelected or elected the first time. Donald Trump had some, not many, but some coattails. Ideally, you would hope that the Congress would get behind and help and actually pass this legislation. But remember, he's not part of the club. The first public office he ran for was president. That's unheard of. And he has a real challenge with his own political party. No, I don't think Donald Trump is going to form a new political party. I don't think that interests him. I don't think he wants to spend the money on that. And part of the problem is you need to have a specific agenda and you want to accomplish things, but it has to be principled. He's not ideological. He's a businessman. And smart businessmen typically avoid politics at all. They don't want to offend their own customers or clients. But you're in some businesses, including real estate, you have to make campaign contributions to either Democrats or Republicans or both. And some people do that because they need to get the permits, the permissions. They need to have some political clout to get the buildings built, especially if you're talking New York City or New York State. So Donald Trump is well aware of how the game is played and knows that these politicians go hat in hand to the owner-donor class and request contributions, and they get them. It's not a charity. These people expect something. They don't give you money for nothing. They expect you to be bought and paid for, or at least rented for the period of time that they give you the contribution. You don't have to accept the contribution, but very few, if any, turn it down. So I don't think Donald Trump has any interest in forming a new political party. The Democrats don't want him and wouldn't accept him on any condition. And I think many Republicans feel the same way, including Corker, that supposedly is going to retire. We'll wait and see on that one. Hope he does. I bet you he stays in Washington. I bet you his salary dramatically increases. As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. Don't let the doorknob hit you on your way out. So I'm not a fan of Corker, neither is Trump. I can see why he didn't endorse them. And I think the reason is that Iran agreement. And hopefully very soon, and I hope it's this year, that treaty is torn up. It was not in the best interest of the United States to enter in that agreement. And fortunately, the Obama administration was desperate for a legacy. And I really think sold the security of the American people out when they did what they did. And I think it's, again, only a matter of time before the Trump administration does not certify that the Islamic Republic of Iran is in compliance. So don't expect a new party. I was toying with the idea to have a Democratic-Republican party, the idea being, and we once had a Democrat-Republican party, that was a long time ago, of former Democrats and former Republicans. And that is, in many respects, the base of Trump. But neither party will admit it, and many of them don't even understand that. There are reasons why Trump won. I know he didn't get the popular vote. So what? You don't need the popular vote to become president, and Trump understood it. And you would think Hillary Clinton would. They were both unpopular candidates. That's why the race, I thought, was always going to be narrow. And people, my issue with both of them is I don't trust either one of them. I certainly don't trust, there's under no circumstances could I have voted for Hillary Clinton. And I did not vote for Donald Trump. I'm not a Trump hater or a never Trumper. Like any person, there are many positions that I agree with Trump. My concern is, and this is a problem with all politicians, they'll tell you the goals, they'll tell you I got a plan, and I aspire to do this, that, and the other thing. They either give you very few details or tell you very little as how they're going to do that. So when I hear that economic growth is going to address the concerns of both Democrats and Republicans that the deficit is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, I don't think the Democrats care, and most Republicans, I don't think, care either. Maybe 50 to 100 on a good day. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why there's an opportunity for a third party. Will one happen next election? I don't think so. I've heard nothing. I've heard no rumblings. And I've been looking. At some point, though, the registered party affiliation will become independents over 50%. Today, it's in the 40s. But when it's consistently over 50%, and surely when it breaks 60%, not one person, but several people will come together and organize and form a new party, hopefully based on principle and supporting the United States Constitution, wanting an American republic, not an American empire. When will that happen? Sooner rather than later. I really think at the outside, somewhere between now and the next 20 years, the problem with that is we don't have 20 years. We're lucky if we have 8 to 10, because it doesn't end well. You cannot, year in, year out, for as far as the eye can see, spend more than all the taxes collected in the United States. They call them revenues, tax revenues. They're taxes. The total taxes collected, oh, they use every cent of those, and then they have to borrow 500, 600, 700 billion per year, year in, year out, year in, out, and it's only going to get worse because they're not addressing the fundamental problem. What is the key problem that's ruining the United States, its economy? Is spending is out of control. We suffer from spending addiction disorder. Sad. And Donald Trump is really not interested in that. If it was, he would have had that in details. I always say, okay, how? Ask the how question. How are you going to do that? I'm for a balanced budget. How are you going to do that? What are you going to cut? You got to cut a lot. If you're running 500 to 600 billion dollar deficits, in other words, more, you're spending more money than all the tax collections of the United States government. We spend every cent of that plus another 5 to 600 or higher billion. We spent at one time when Obama was initially in over 1,400 billion. That's 1.4 trillion. Oh yes, and President Obama brags, I cut the deficit in half. He did. Got it under 600,000, 587 billion. He cut it in half. The problem, it should be zero. We should be living within the means of the American people. And the reason I always come back to this, you can't deal with the symptoms. You got to deal with the problem. And why I favor fundamental tax reform and reducing the tax rates, it has to go hand in hand with huge, huge cuts so that in a period of 3 to 4 years, you're at a balanced budget. So start at maybe 500 billion. then go to $300 billion deficits, then $200 billion, and then bingo, a balanced budget. That's what's required here. If we're going to get a booming economy and get the 10, 20, or as high as 30 million people that are not in the labor force back in the labor force, and the economy really booming and low unemployment rates and high labor participation rates, that's what you have to have. Dramatic cuts, significant cuts, real cuts. Not this baseline nonsense. When has that happened since the beginning of World War II? It never has happened, period. And now the debt is equal to the, it's 100% of what the GDP is, actually higher than that. Those are flashing red lights. But it didn't just happen. It happened a couple of years ago, and it's getting worse and worse. We don't have leadership in Congress, in the House, the Senate, or the presidency that's willing to do this, to tell the truth, run on an agenda of doing that, making it known, getting a mandate, because we're never going to have high growth rates again until we do this. We want consistently be growing at 3, 4, 5, 6%. Yeah, you're going to have recessions. But what you want are long periods of an expanding, growing economy and growing at above 3 and 3.5%. We've been growing at below that. That is not a formula for increasing the standard of living and the prosperity of the American people. It requires leadership. It requires someone that can communicate this and someone that really understands it. You see, there are a lot of people that are very good at analyzing a problem. Where they fall flat on their face is coming up with a solution to the problem. And there's more than one solution. And in politics, unfortunately, a lot of it is half measures, or not even half measures. That's being generous. They're talking around the problem. They're not curing it. They're not balancing the budget. They're not really going to give you fundamental tax reform. If you think that, you're fooling yourself. Not with, as long as the two parties are the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, nothing fundamental, and I mean significant, is going to change. No hope, no change. Business as usual, the status quo. And that means the political elitist establishment of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party wins. So as long as you're in the bad habit of voting either Democrat or Republican, blame yourselves. I'm not the only one talking about this or warning people, but I'm not having a significant impact. I understand that. What I'm doing right now is getting better and better in communicating ideas. That's what I do. And eventually I'll be on commercial radio and have a huge audience. That's the plan. But until then, the clock is ticking. Anywhere from 2024 to 2040, somewhere in there, the debt bomb goes off. And we become Greece, and suddenly interest rates skyrocket, and people that are dependent on the government, which is about half of the United States, find out, sadly, that all those promises, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, and many, if not most, of the welfare programs are going to be drastically cut. Then what do you think is going to happen? We become Greece, and then you're going to get rioting in the streets. In city after city and in Washington, D.C. It doesn't end pretty. There is a day of reckoning, and only you can do anything about it. You and several million people could and should, and the quicker the better, organize a new party to challenge both Democrats and Republicans. Until that happens, it's the status quo. Don't waste your time voting. I say that because I know there's some good people, but there are too few of them. There may be 50 to 100 in the Republican Party if you count the House and the Senate. That's not enough. You can't pass anything if that's all you have. And I mean nothing. So until you're a majority and a significant majority, at least 220 in the House, 55 to 60 in the Senate, I'm not expecting anything. I have zero expectations that Donald Trump is going to be successful. But if he is, that is the Democratic Party's worst nightmare. Looking at the clock, I'm going to have one, and I stayed away from this, but I want to comment. For some reason, I really want to comment. Mike Pence flew from Nevada back to Indiana. He was the former governor of Indiana, represented a district there. He was at an NFL football game, and the visiting team, they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. During the national anthem, several of their players knelt down, and Vice President Mike Pence left. Now, a number of people have said, well, he knew that he was going to leave. No, he didn't know that any of the players were going to kneel during the national anthem. I point out that is an NFL rule that during the national anthem, you stand at attention. Everyone will be on the field at attention, their helmet in their left hand, their right hand over their heart, facing the flag to give respect to the flag and the national anthem. That's the rule. And if you don't do it, you should be suspended or fined. And I covered this several shows ago when this issue first cropped up. Well, several players of the 49ers kneeled, disrespecting the flag and the national anthem, and they were suspended, which they should be. And what happened? Mike Pence left the stadium. He didn't want to leave, but he left. And President Trump told him, if they disrespect the flag, I wish you would leave, and he honored that request. Neither the president nor Mike Pence knew that any of the players were going to do this. Although the San Francisco 49ers were high probability, at least several would. They started this nonsense, or at least one on their team did. So I support Vice President Pence and President Trump on this, and I have news for the NFL, as well as the owners, and they know this, you're drastically out of sync with your own fans. Your own players are destroying the game of football. They are damaging your franchise. And if you don't get on top of this quickly, this damage will be even worse and worse and worse. They have had a wake-up call. And as far as I'm concerned, when the national anthem is playing, they should follow the rules. And I said this on an earlier show. First time they do it, fine them $100,000. They can't play a quarter. Second time, $200,000. Third time, $400,000. And then they're fired. They can't get the message three times in a row. You had three chances. We hit you in the pocketbook. You're out of here. And I'd ban them from the league. That's an addition on my part. A small minority of players are ruining this game for everybody. The owners of the football team, the league, their other teammates, the fans, and they have no one to blame but themselves. This needs to be firmly nipped in the bud. I think it's going to happen, but I thought we wouldn't have this, and we did Sunday. And I really think Mike Pence thought, nah, they wouldn't do that. Well, they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. I would have bet money that one or maybe two or three, I think four, kneel during the national anthem. They are totally disregarding the overwhelming majority of the American people that are sports fans. I'm not. I don't watch professional sports. And I said on another show, at one time when I was growing up, I was a big Brooklyn Dodger fan. And then when I was going to grad school at Berkeley, I was a big Oakland Raider fan. But both times they moved to Los Angeles. And when the Raiders went to Los Angeles, I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I said, no more support of professional sports teams. I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, you name it. I'm only interested in sports that I play, and I don't play many sports today. I like to ski, but I haven't been skiing in years for various reasons. So I don't follow sports, especially professional sports. Same for college football. But it's a free country. You support whoever. It's your money, your time. You invest your money and your time where you think it's well spent. And if that's sitting in front of a television, watching either college football on Saturdays or professional sports on Sundays or Mondays, be my guest. Knock yourself out. But they're not going to get a penny from me. This is a very lucrative business, but they're not seeing any money from me, except to the extent our government, local government, supports building their stadiums. So again, I'm glad both President Trump and Vice President Pence noted that the vice president left because of the disrespect to the flag and the national anthem. With that, I want to play my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show.
Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.